Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 on the Tibbet 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another edition live, of course, of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network for this Monday, the 22nd of August, 2011. Happy Monday to you. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. We've got a great show lined up tonight for you. I'm glad that you've joined us and just sit back, relax. We are talking tonight about a city within a city. Many gated communities and homeowner associations, large properties with 5, 10, even 30,000 people living on one property. Self-contained cities with all of the amenities of a resort and all of the convenience of a city within walking distance of your home. How do you secure such a property? How do you police and control so many people in one place? It's quite a job. We'll be talking tonight to private police and private security officers who find a way to do it. We'll be talking to them about the many challenges and the issues of policing a city within a city. Very interesting topic, very interesting show. We'll be talking to a police chief of the largest self-contained community in Arkansas. It's the largest in the nation, actually. And he'll be joining us momentarily. We'll also be talking with a police chief from Virginia and a security chief who operates an all-volunteer security patrol service in a very large HOA in Florida. So just relax, and we'll be joining them shortly. Do want to give you a heads up on some breaking news today. Unfortunately, we did have information come into the office about several on-duty security officer deaths. We had a security officer over the weekend gunned down in Miami Gardens, which is part of Miami, Florida. The armored car security officer was working for Brinks when he made a pickup of cash and was gunned down as he exited with the cash. FBI have made 5 arrests today in that case, including a security officer who was employed at the casino where the armored car officer was shot and killed. Police say that the casino security officer was actually the head honcho, the guy who set up the whole robbery, and they have him in custody as well. A second security officer was killed, run down, in Arkansas at a nightclub and crab shack. Police have a suspect in custody on that case as well. For more information, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/memorial page or officer down, and you can see the information there, which is posted as we get the information in-house. We've had a busy week, busy month, and a busy year. We've got a lot coming up, lots going on. So just stay tuned, and we will definitely keep you advised. Tomorrow night, we have a training. If you've applied for the Officer Down Response Team member, we will be training tomorrow night at 8 p.m. That's Eastern Time or Daylight Savings Time, depending on how you look at it. If you've already made application, you can join us on the call, and you will call into our conference call center at area code 712-432-0800. Again, that number is 712-432-0800. And I'll ask you for a PIN number, and that is 843-081. Again, that number is area code 712-432-0800 and PIN number 843-081. And so if you've already signed up to be part of this training, we will see you there tomorrow night, and we're looking forward to it. We'll also have some online training coming up as well and some other conference call type training coming up as well. So if you're interested in being part of the Officer Down Response Team, just send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Well, as I always tell you, if you'd like to send us an email while we're on the radio, just do it at radio@privateofficer.com. Again, that is radio@privateofficer.com. You can also send us an email if you're listening by podcast or on demand later on today or this week or next month or even next year. You can still send us an email, ask any questions, comments, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also send us information if you want to about training or upcoming events or promotions or anything that's happening in your area, just by sending us an email to radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be sure to announce that as well. And as I always tell you, unless you are a first-time listener, you can also follow us on the web. We are every place you want to be. We're every place. We have a large internet footprint and growing every day. And you can follow us. Basically, go to our main homepage at privateofficer.com. You can link in there to our Facebook page, to our Twitter page, to our own forums, and to our daily news blog. And that's updated several times a day. If you are already on our email list, then you will automatically get all of the updates, all of the Officer Down information as we get it and broadcast it. You can also be a host on the radio program, either our weekly broadcast on Monday night or the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention and Retail Security, on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Just simply send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com and let me know that you want to be a guest or even a co-host. If you want to discuss a certain topic, just write a short paragraph or two about the topic of interest and your background, and we will call and schedule you to be part of the broadcast, either our main Monday evening broadcast or the LP Zone on Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Always so much happening, and I do hope that you know, you're following us every which way that you can. We have a lot going on, and certainly on our forums, that is a key area to follow us and be well-informed and stay on top or stay abreast of everything that's happening, because that's where we generate a lot of our news information, our Officer Down responses, and we've got lots of videos, pictures, and lots of threads, communications happening there. Go to our main website at www.privateofficer.com and link in right there to the forums. You'll be glad that you did. I also want to make mention that we have, in cooperation with the Mother Fine folks, began a brand new International Private Security Trainers Association. If you are a trainer, a school, an academy, or a government official who licenses or oversees security, private security, or you are a proprietary security trainer, or you are a loss prevention trainer, or you have a school or an academy, or you're a post-secondary school and you teach private security, we invite you to join. Right now we have a special promotion available to you. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on the link to join the training association. We will be offering a brand new interactive website. We will be having numerous seminars, regional conferences. We'll also be providing resources and training tools and certification to be a certified trainer as well. So we are really excited about this new endeavor, And we hope that you will be too if you are a trainer or you are looking to become a trainer or possibly if you have a school or a training academy. Again, just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Right there at the top of the page, it says join IPSTA, the International Private Security Trainers Association. We are looking to unite educators with regulators. Everyone in the industry, whether you are with an agency, proprietary, or a government overseer, we hope that you will join the new IPSTA, International Private Security Training Association. Well, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but we have a hurricane on the way heading in our direction. Forecasters, as of 5 p.m., the last update, are speculating that this will be a hurricane Category 3 that will slide up the east coast of the U.S. and land someplace between South Carolina and Savannah, Georgia. And if you live in that area, live in the Carolinas or Georgia, and you were around when Hugo came through, then you know exactly what this means. It means that there will be some devastation, damage, great property loss, and possibly even some deaths. And we'll know more about this midweek as it gets, Wednesday, Thursday. But at this point, it does appear to be a substantial storm brewing. It hit last night, and it's now heading our way along the East Coast. So if you are in Georgia, the Carolinas, even Florida, and as far east, as far northeast as the Jersey coast, you may want to pay attention to this because Hugo came across as Category 4 and wound up traveling across land through Charlotte and South Carolina and other locations doing a lot of damage. And even as a tropical storm, it could really put down a lot of rain in a short amount of time, cause a lot of flooding and other damage. So, you know, you might want to stay tuned to the weather if you live on the southeast coast. We will definitely be following this and responding to the area if need be. All right, we're going to join one of our guests right now. Good evening. You are on the Private Officer Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Chief Hartman?
This is Chief Hartman, yes.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
I'm good.
Glad that you've called in. We're talking tonight about cities within the city. We've got a couple of guests this evening. And we just basically want to talk about the uniqueness of policing such a community, private property as it is, and see what the challenges might be on a property such as yours. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your agency, and we'll go from there.
It is unique. That is a good word. I spent 30 years in a fairly large law enforcement agency and retired, and then went to this private agency with a population of about 10,000 people, patrolled by 8 officers full-time. And really did not have any idea of the challenges I was getting into. I remember when I went to the chief's training, which was a combination of a lot of chiefs from around the state, and after I explained my situation, a private law enforcement agency that was state certified but not a municipality, just about everything they said, they went, well, except for you, Chief Harmon, that won't apply to you. So it is very unique, and a lot of the challenges have to do with the neighborhood rules, covenants. And
right.
These are things that the community has decided that they want in place. But, of course, they're not, it's not criminal code. It's not police-related. But we are the enforcement agent, so they want us to enforce them. And I have a constant battle trying to explain to them the difference between what we can facilitate and what we can enforce.
Right. Now, your property is in the state of Virginia, and I understand that you also, besides your fully commissioned law enforcement agency, you also have private security. Now, do they basically just man the gate, or are they also out on patrol?
That is correct. They are considered part of the police department, but they are the civilian branch. and they only work the front gate. And then I have sworn officers that work the road. But they're also our dispatchers. We have our own radio on the county system where the gate can communicate directly with us. So we are dispatched both by the gate and by the county.
Right. And, you know, the problems that you have when you're policing private communities such as this is that the board wants you to both be law enforcement as well as security, enforcing property rules, which are not statutes, as you were saying. And that can cause some conflict. Tell me, what type of crimes do you normally see on a property your size? You have about 10,000 people there, correct?
Right. Oh, no, I don't allow any crime in there at all. mostly, the biggest complaints we get are speeding. It's a 36 miles of road and all 25 miles an hour. So speeding is our big issue. We occasionally have a vandalism, but the domestics, things of that nature, but actually very, very low crime rate. The gate really serves as a filter to really minimize the impact of the outside world on the community. So what little activity we have is mostly homegrown. And we've worked really hard to create a really good rapport with the community to include the teens. When I first arrived there, I told the officers they had 6 months for the teenagers in the community to know them by first name. And they did it. They did it. I went to a park 6 months later, and the kids were sitting there, and they said, "Hey, are Rusty and Drew working?" And I went, "Yes!" because it's a perfect environment for community policing where the residents are involved in solving the problems. And that's the environment we have, and it really does work. It really limits the crime. When anything does happen, the flow of information is just incredible. Problems are very easily resolved. And that won't work everywhere, but certainly in a private community, it works really, really well.
Do you think that you knowing them and them knowing you, obviously it helps in communication, but it also can kind of harm you in some ways. Having worked at myself, being in law enforcement security for 37 years, I know that, you know, when you get close sometimes to people, sometimes they expect you to do them favors or overlook what they've done or not charge them. And do you face that situation as well?
No, I mean, it's a fine line, and I am close to them. They all have my home phone number. They can reach me day or night, and I just find that's the easiest way to handle things rather than let them fester. but they also understand that we have a job to do and that we're fair, and that's the most difficult message that's had to be reinforced over and over again. Of course, the police department itself has been there for 30 years. Different chiefs have different models. Some like to go really hard and say, you know, we want you to be afraid to do anything in here. And that doesn't always go over very well. And then
no, because that's their home. I mean,
right.
They live there. It's not like they're visiting and this is some resort that they've come for the weekend. This is their home. And that's one of the problems when you're policing such a property as yours is that this is their home. And there is kind of a fine line of enforcement because they are homeowners. And, you know, they have certain rights and luxuries of being a homeowner, and although they should be obeying the law, if they should, you know, do something that's not so severe, they feel that, you know, they should be let go and they should be overlooked because they own the property. I'm sure that's been brought up into your statement a number of times.
I told my officers when I first got there, I said, you know, for 30 years I've had people telling me, I pay your salary, and I'd say, yeah, I need a raise. I said, but when they say it in here, it's the truth.
It is the truth,
We exist because they pay for us to exist. And that doesn't mean we don't enforce the law. We have to. But it has to be really, really fair. The trust has got to be there. And that way, when we do have to take an enforcement action, it is very rare that I have conflict with that. I generally get parents or residents going, Chief, I know you would do something if you could. Because they really feel that way, because we do. We try to handle the problems inside the community when we can, and a lot of times we are able to do that. I involve the courts when our efforts are not enough.
Now, you also have a board that you have to answer to, and do you have referrals of, I'm sure, property violations that you refer to the board and they follow it up from there?
No, thank goodness we are not involved in the property violation, and that is one thing this community set up very smartly. There is a separate entity that does that. The police department is not involved. That entity answers directly to the general manager and the board, and I am not involved in that. But when there is when there's a covenant violation, our basic rule of thumb for me and my officers is we try to facilitate the will of the community. We go to the person and we say, you know, it's against covenant to do this here, to have a motorbike or whatever it is.
Right.
And we would appreciate it if you would honor that. If they decide not to honor it, then we submit the information to the general manager who would then take it up with the board. But in 100% of the cases so far, people said, oh, I didn't know. You know, sure, if that's the rule, then that's what we'll do.
Right.
But I do make it clear to the board, if it's not a criminal violation, I can't make people follow covenants. I can ask them
right.
to, and I do, and I will, but I can't make them.
Right, exactly. And they expect sometimes that you heavy-handed enforce covenants and rules and regulations that aren't criminal, and sometimes that poses a problem. Let me ask you a question. I know that the roads are private, and you issue UTCs, traffic citations. So there's a law in your county, or you somehow managed to be able to issue tickets within inside the private property area there?
Yes, the state allows the circuit court to open private roads to enforcement, and that's what they did. It is a circuit court. It's the stroke of a pen of a circuit court judge that does that.
Okay. So,
and they are still private roads.
Course.
They're still private roads. I don't do accident reports. The state isn't interested because they are still – it's still considered private property, but there is a statute in Virginia that does allow a circuit court judge to open a private road to code enforcement.
Right. It's like that in, I guess, a number of states. You enforce traffic violations, stop signs, just about everything. And then I guess they would appear in the county court, municipal
Correct.
Court?
Correct.
Now, I've noticed that in recent months you've had a few arrests there. Can you tell me what those have been for?
Generally domestic assault, warrant service, drug possession. Occasionally.
Right.
We had a drunk in public charge. We had five drunk in public charge. We had five drunk people in one car, and they were all standing outside the car, and nobody would say who they were driving, and they got a little aggressive, so everybody went. But that's very unusual.
What I have found being in this business, and I've done a lot of residential communities, both condominiums, apartments, and HOAs, is that most of your problems are actually from outsiders, people who don't live on the property, but they're invited guests. I mean, they're brought into the property usually either through invitation, or they're a relative or they're a friend of somebody who lives there. And I guess that would be the same problems you have most of the time there, huh? Most of your problems?
Not really. I would say it's probably about 50-50. It's about 50-50, both because we have such a low rate of incident.
Right.
And because we monitor the incoming traffic very, very closely. My guards are little watchdogs up there. They really make sure that people who come in are supposed to be there.
That's excellent. Is it a completely gated community all the way around the property, or is it just...
No, it is not. It can be entered on foot, but it's the way the community is set up, it's not very conducive to that. And occasionally we have a problem with that where people will try to access the amenities, a basketball court or something like that. And when that happens, we hit it very hard, very fast, and take care of the problem. And like I said, normally our approach is to try to be very reasonable and very fair and give people as much notice as possible before we take action. And that generally tends to lend people to be more cooperative.
Right. What else do you think? You have eight officers. They obviously can't be doing traffic all the time. What else do they do? What do you spend most of your time with? Proactive patrol?
You know, the officers get bored, and that's one of my challenges, is keeping them interested.
Exactly.
Because the longer that they're there, the better they can do their job, because the more they know the people, the more they know the layout, the more they know the problems. So when I arrived there 3 years ago, I was told, look, this is a revolving door agency. They spend about 18 months and they go elsewhere, and I found that to be completely unacceptable for the kind of community policing program I wanted to put in place. So I had to make some changes, and one of the changes, of course, was salary. That was one of the things that was sending them out the door. So I made the salary competitive to the county, and that was a battle, but I got it done. And I just try to keep the officers interested. We have a lot of overlapping of shifts. We don't
have
a lot of people there, but it's certainly no fun to work by yourself all the time.
Right.
It's one of the great things about police work is the camaraderie, so I really try and arrange it so that we get to see a lot of each other, and there's a lot of overlap, and we get to have the fun that draws so many people into police work. I give them a lot of training. We have access to a police academy that puts on wonderful training, and a lot of times they wouldn't be allowed to go because it's difficult to cover the shift and because they're just going to use it to put on their resume to go elsewhere. But I find that training keeps them engaged. It keeps them interested. And so I pretty much don't say no to anything. If they have something they're interested in at the academy, we figure out how to manipulate the schedule so that the person can go. And when people are happy, even if they're not having, you know, getting as many calls as they would like to handle, they're more hesitant to move on because they know a bigger agency means more stuff to deal with. In a smaller agency, we're it's pretty easy to figure out, and we're a very close group. So I make it I try to make it an enjoyable environment so they'll want to stay, and I've had pretty good success with that.
Now, you also have a mutual aid agreement with, I guess, area departments, the county sheriff's department. Kind of tell us a little bit about that, and your last, I guess, dispatch was a bank robbery or something of that nature.
Bank robbery?
Was there a bank robbery recently, or an alarm or something that went on?
In the county.
Yeah.
In the county, and I'm telling you, in this county, bank robbers should never come through because they always catch them. We do have a mutual aid agreement. When I first arrived, the first thing I did was meet with the sheriff, and they had, you know, that's one of the really big difficulties is working with the local agency. And from the big agency that I came from, we had three smaller subsidiary agencies in my jurisdiction. So I was familiar with the concept of, oh, you know, they're lesser, oh, they don't know what they're doing as much as we do, or they can't get on a bigger agency and they're losers and that's why they're there. And I never bought into it, but I know a lot of people did. And the truth is, when you're with a really small private agency that doesn't have a lot of crime, it's very difficult for you to be proficient because you just don't come in contact with it very often. I mean, we could go 11 months before we get a drunk driver, so my officers are not going to be as proficient, say, as someone who's getting, you know, one a shift. But that's all that is. It's just a matter of frequency. We just don't have the frequency. So the first thing I did was meet with the sheriff, and he kind of said, well, this is okay with me, and that's not, and I really want to investigate the big stuff. And I said, you know, I was a detective for 14 years, perfectly capable of, you know, working some of the stuff in here. And he said, I'm sure you are. He said, but I'm the elected official, and if something goes wrong, it will be my picture in the paper. And I said, wow, I didn't even get that, but he's so right. You know, who cares about this little police department? They're going to hold him accountable if I mess it up. And
right.
I thought, okay, that's a reasonable argument. But I said, but what I'd really like is to have it in writing so that I know exactly what your expectations are and my officers know exactly where the line is. And but he's a wonderful guy, very reasonable guy. And he even went a step further and said, you know, I will allow my road supervisors to override this MOU so that if you're on something that you think you can handle and you think is not going to put me in a, you know, in a trick bag, then you can run it by a road supervisor. And we do that all the time. And it has worked out very well, and it hasn't bitten him once, and it hasn't bitten me once. So, so far that works out really, really well. But if you had somebody in his position who was not, as amiable as this guy is, I could see where this could be really tough.
Exactly. I have another guest joining us. Can you hold for 1 second?
Sure.
Good evening, Private Officer Talk Radio. Chief Cornett, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, Rick?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for joining us tonight. I've got Chief Harmon joined us moments ago, and we're talking a little bit about the mutual aid that they have with their department there in Virginia. Chief, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're calling from, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'm calling from Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. I work for the Hot Springs Village Property Owners Association. We have 34,000 plus members, the majority of which are non-resident. We have roughly 14,500 resident members. The majority are non-resident and scattered all over the United States. In fact, we got them outside the country. We have a very large community. We're totally gated. We've got 26,014 acres, to be exact, a little over 40 square miles, a little over 500 miles of paved roads, and a lot of recreational amenities here in the village. In addition to having the police department, I have the fire department and all the gates. We're a totally gated community, probably the largest in I tell everybody we're the largest gated community in captivity.
And we also have a security chief calling in from Florida. And Chief Albanese, you're with us as well?
Hello.
Yes, Chief Albanese, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. We're talking with Chief Cornett in Arkansas and also Chief Harmon. Chief Cornett, I wanted to ask you a little bit. You have about 28,000 acres that you're patrolling. Chief Harmon is in a situation where they use private security to man the gates, and I was wondering if your property has guards on there as well, or if it's solely your police force.
No, they are non-commissioned personnel. We call them public relations officers. I have two gates that are staffed. One is staffed 24/7. The other is staffed to 16 hours a day. Then we have five gates that are electronically operated throughout the area. But all the gate personnel answer to me. They're non-commissioned, but they all answer to me. And then my patrol officers, I have a total of 18 sworn officers along with my fire department. I have 18 firefighters.
Chief Albanese, how are you this evening, sir?
Great, thanks.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your property and where you're calling from, and we'll go from there.
Well, we come from Sun City Center, Florida, and we
is the sun shining down there today?
Yes, it's real warm. We have five vehicles, and it's strictly a volunteer service, and we just drive around and patrol, try to deter crime and stay in touch with the sheriff's department. And we patrol from 7 in the morning till midnight.
About how many people live on your property?
Well, we have about 1,200 volunteers for the patrol. The property, we have probably 1,800 people, 18,000 people, 12,000 homes.
So you have a fairly large community. Now, my understanding is that you also have a deputy sheriff on property part of the time. Is that right?
That's correct. He's on property most of the time, and he's, you know, out in the road, but very easily to be in touch with us if we need him.
Chief Harmon, I thought I read someplace that you also have EMS on the property or a fire agency or something of that nature. Do you?
Yes, that is correct, but it is a county entity. It is not part of the private community.
So they have a volunteer rescue squad station on the property. Is that how it works?
Well, a volunteer rescue squad and a paid firefighter.
So the
they're paid by the county, not by the resident area that I am in charge of.
Right. It's a county station. And is the staff full-time, or how does that work?
Yes, it is. It is staff full-time.
So they're responding both to calls on the property as well as other county response.
That is correct.
And are your officers EMTs or trained in first aid? Or?
We have first responder training, what basic patrol officers get, and one of them is a former EMT.
And Chief Cornett, you have a fire department that operates on your property. I believe there's four stations, and they're staffed by paid and volunteers. Is that how it works?
Well, all the stations are staffed by paid personnel, and then we have volunteers who respond when we call them out. But we do not staff any of the stations with volunteers. And our EMS is provided on a contract with a local company. We have three advanced life support systems or units in the village at all times. But they are private.
Right.
They're not funded through us.
Right. And Chief Cornett, you know, being as large as you are, tell us a little bit about the type of calls that you're experiencing and what your normal officer's day might be like out on patrol and what your typical crime problems are.
Well, our problems are the same as any city would be, any municipality, only a whole lot less. To kind of put it in perspective, I think last year we responded to 11 home burglaries. So when you talk about a community as large as ours, that's pretty small. We just don't
right.
have the degree. I've been here 18 years. We've had two homicides in the 18 years. We've had no armed robberies. We're just a very unique and very blessed community not to have the volume of crime that other places would have. And we like to hope that we can stay that way for a long time. But obviously, as we grow larger, well, it gets worse. I guess the majority of our problems would be property destruction. We have some youngsters, and we have automobile breaking and enterings. We have criminal mischief that we run into. So that would be probably our largest problem in that regard. As far as others, we respond to all the medicals. This last year, so far this year, we respond to over 900 medicals that are run. We respond to all those. Our community is beyond the norm for age-wise. We got a lot of older folks here, and so we run into quite a bit of problem with medicals. One of our biggest concerns is being able to distinguish between law and policy. See, we're a private, not-for-profit corporation, even though we have full authority through the state, and sometimes our folks don't understand what's a policy and what's a law, and sometimes my officers have a hard time determining which is which. But we work it out.
Right, and that is the problem on private property when you're a law enforcement officer. I was speaking with Chief Harmon, and we were talking about a lot of times a board or an HOA wants you to enforce policy when, you know, you have to be kind of – you're caught in the middle because – it's not a law, it's not a statute, it's not a criminal offense, and you're not there to babysit people, but you are working for them, and sometimes they expect you to do things that, you know, really wouldn't be part of your normal duties. Do you have a board, a civil board that you refer people to for covenant violations or civil, you know, policy or regulation violations?
Yes, we do. We have a board of directors. They're elected by the property owners, and there are seven members. And for flagrant violations, we can refer them to the board, and then the board can suspend their privileges, privileges being to play golf, to use the lakes, to use electronic cards to come and go through the non-staffed gates. And that's the extent of the punishment for policy violations. Now, 2014, that's going to change a little bit because there'll be some changes made in the declaration and the covenants so that there will be a system set up where some fines can be levied. But that won't become effective, I think, till 2014.
Yeah. Now, Chief Albanese, you have a very unique situation as well because you patrol the property most of the day with your volunteer squad that's been out there for about 30 years. Tell us a little bit about how you're able to keep your staff, on the job in a volunteer capacity, your recruitment, and a little bit about the course of your duties each day.
Well, we run three-hour shifts because, you know, we are a retirement community and we have a lot of elderly people, so they volunteer and we take what we can get. But we have, a captain for each day, so we have 31 captains, and they have probably 40 people on each team, and we just run different shifts from 7 in the morning till midnight. And mostly we just kind of drive around the circles and patrol the area, try to deter crime, which we do very well. Our crime rate here is very low because it's strictly a retirement community. Pretty much like the speaker before, you know, in the retirement area, you don't really have much going on, but we like to be out there and have different occasions. Sometimes one of the persons of Alzheimer's will kind of walk away and we have to go find them. If we don't find them within a 30-minute period, then we call the sheriff's department and we start a search. We've been known to find lost dogs. We had some cattle out in the golf course one time. Different things like that. Get a call for an alligator on the front lawn, so we try to take care of that. But we kind of watch what we do, but we stay busy.
I'm sure that you do with 18,000 people plus visitors on the property. Chief Cornett, we were talking with Chief Harmon a few moments ago about mutual aid. Does your agency also provide mutual aid to the county and other agencies in your jurisdiction there?
Yes, we do. We draw our authority based on a 1983 statute that gave the sheriffs of the counties the authority to deputize employees for planned communities. And since then, we have entered into agreements with sheriffs from both counties. We actually lie within two counties. And that agreement is that we will patrol the village. Should they call and ask us to go outside, well, we'll do that because we have full authority throughout the counties based on that statute. We're trained at no cost to the village because of that statute and have the same certification as any other law enforcement officer in the state. So we do, and we respond quite often to the counties as well as the state police.
Now, when I was researching your property for the show, I also noticed because it's such a large property spread out so far that you have a lot of wooded area and a lot of amenities that would attract outside hunters and fishermen. Do you have that kind of problem on your property?
Yeah, we do. We have some of that. In fact, we have such a large population of deer that we've held for the last couple of years a bow hunt that is set up by the state, and we're going to have that again in September. But we have poachers, and we have problems, but probably no more than any other large property owner, and we deal with those as they come. And this is
normally arrest them for trespassing or issue a warning when you do catch them? Or
first time around, we give them a warning. If they come back, then we will charge them with trespass, and we have very little problem. We don't have too many repeats. If we have one that is a very major offender, then we'll file on them and have the state game wardens come out and take care of it. But we don't have a lot of problem that way. We probably have more trouble with people who live here than we do with outsiders because we've got such a large area, but it's probably got more trouble from our folks who live inside than we do from outside.
Right. Chief Harmon was saying you know, they, of course, do enforce all of the traffic code there, and I'm sure that you do as well. And tell us Do you also investigate accidents, motor vehicle accidents and things of that nature, or do you call outside agencies, or how does that work?
We're a full-service law enforcement agency. We do all of that. In 1994, the governor signed a bill that gave us full authority to enforce all traffic rules and regulations on the private streets within the village. And so we do that. We handle all of the investigations inside up to and including the homicide that we had that I told you about. We don't call for outside help unless it's for something that's going to lead us out and that we may have to go outside the area quite a ways, but we handle all that. In addition, we also have a PSAP, or public answering point, for 911. There are only three in the county, and we have one of them. So we take a full share of the burden for this part of the county, both counties, in fact.
Sounds like you have a very interesting agency, and obviously your hands are full. Chief Harmon, I know there's some lakes and some other things on your property there in Virginia. Do you ever have anybody trespassing for fishing or poaching for hunting or anything of that nature?
We do, and we have a good rapport with the Game and Inland Fisheries. And, in fact, all the officers have been trained on law enforcement on the water. We don't have a boat, but I'm hopeful. But what we do have is a call-out list of residents with boats. And, in fact, last year we had a reckless boating incident that we were able to work start to finish because we were able to access a boat, get out, make the arrest, and take the case to court.
That's obviously very unique to a private property because normally in a situation like that you would call DNR or conservation or someone to come out, or marine police if your area has them. And for you to actually work it from start to finish, that's pretty unique.
It is, and that was because of the training the marine police provided us. Once we were trained under their officers, they were comfortable with us taking the case. We, of course, consulted with them throughout the case, but we actually worked it.
Chief Cornett, were you going to say something?
I was just going to ask Chief Harmon how many lakes they have and what size they are.
We just have a body of water it's basically called a creek, but it empties out into the main tributary, which is the Potomac River. So people can access the community from the Potomac, can come all the way in to the community. So it's not a lake. It's actually a waterway.
Okay. We also patrol the lakes on a need-to basis. We don't have a boat either. And we have 11 recreational lakes and one water supply lake. Our largest lake's 1,000 acres, and the smallest about 11 acres. And I get a little push to have a full-time lake patrol, but so far I haven't been able to justify using my resources and what little I've got to buy a boat and put somebody on the waters all the time.
Well, in Virginia, the real push is going toward jet skis, police jet skis. A lot of the communities in Virginia have gone to that, and that's something I'm going to be pursuing very actively.
Well, I can give both of you some stats because our association compiles stats for security and law enforcement. And one of the things that we've seen in the last 2 years is an increase of burglaries and property crimes of residents that are close to bodies of waters, be it the ocean, lakes, rivers. And many communities have, you know, I have a place that I go quite frequently down into Alabama along the Gulf Coast, and a lot of communities have added jet skis, boat patrols to curb those property crimes. And they're also seeing a number of home invasions perpetrated by people coming off the water. So it is something, obviously, it's kind of like, I hate to say cockroaches, but they go where the least resistance is. And that's how criminals, as we know, act. They go where the least resistance is. If they know that you can't patrol a certain area because of limitations, either be it heavily wooded or be it water, then that's how they're going to come in. And so it may be something that you may have to address sooner or later on your particular
property.
And I
will be calling you for those stats.
Well, we're fortunate to this point that we're not like Chief Harmon. We don't have an open line into the lakes. You know, we're all gated so far, so we have enough problems, and that one hasn't manifested itself yet, thank goodness.
Chief Albanese, on your property, being in Florida, you have lakes, inside your gated community, don't you?
Yeah, we have lakes all around the golf courses, but nothing major. Of course, we're only probably 5 or 6 miles from the bay, so our area it's not all gated. We have one section which is gated, and we have the other section, and it's like kind of split in half. We had 12,000 homes. We have probably 6,800 on one side and 6,000 on the other. We patrol the non-gated area.
Right. You know, when I was researching your property a while back for this program, I noticed that you've updated your patrol vehicles. I believe you bought Hondas?
Hyundais.
Yeah, Hyundais. How are they working out for you? Because I saw a couple of studies where several police departments have actually gone to those, and some others have gone to Toyotas because of the cost of gas, and I was kind of curious about how those are working out for you. And obviously, your department puts on quite a few miles because of the size of the property. So,
yeah, we've had good luck with them. We put 30,000 miles per year on each vehicle, so we do a lot of driving. We had a little static when we first bought them because they wanted American. But one good thing was the Hyundai's built and assembled in Alabama, so I kind of convinced the people, at least we're putting people to work in Alabama anyway. But we've had good luck with them.
They are. They're built right there in Montgomery, Alabama.
Right. And even though the profits go to North Korea, or South Korea, I should say, they're putting people to work in Alabama, so that's one good thing.
Chief Harmon, I know some other properties are going more toward bicycle patrol and other forms of patrol outside of the vehicle. Some of them have even begun using horse patrol because it gets them closer to the public. Is that something that you folks do or have thought about, or is it pretty much vehicle patrol?
It's vehicle patrol. The neighborhood really isn't conducive to that. It's extremely hilly. It would be a really tough bike ride and certainly not a fun
good workout.
Yeah, it really would be. We do a lot of foot patrols in the amenities, in the parks and that sort of thing. We try to get out on foot a lot, but there really aren't a lot of alternatives to a vehicle for my particular neighborhood.
Right. Keith Cornett, I got a question on private duty for the officers. I know some communities require that a officer is hired for any type of event being held at any of the clubhouses or elsewhere on the property. Do you folks work those type of jobs?
Yes, we do. In fact, we even provide at the moment resource officers for one of the local schools. The county sheriff was not able to provide it, so we provide the resource officers for one of the school districts. And we do also allow the officers to work off-duty jobs. They've all got to be cleared through me, and we've got some restrictions on what kind of jobs we'll let them work. But we do allow that.
Excellent. Anything else that's kind of unique challenge-wise on your property there in Arkansas?
Well, yeah, like everything else, like I say, we've got the gates, and they give us constant trouble keeping those things running because we have people that will run into them, whether deliberately or accidentally. We've had several that tore them down on purpose. We've also had them, they run into them accidentally. So keeping those things operating all the time is a challenge. We're like Chief Harmon. We're very hilly. We're very large. We've got folks that live way back in the backside of this place that when we get snow and ice on the ground, they can't move. And we've had that happen several times. So we went to four-wheel drive vehicles back in 2002 and try to keep those going. It's really made a difference on our being able to provide service. Like you say, we, being a private community, during some of these ice storms, we deliver food, we deliver medicines, we deliver emergency supplies. We do all the things that you anticipate that would come out of a private community, while also trying to enforce the law as it's set down by the counties and the state.
I know exactly how that goes. When I was working in law enforcement in Connecticut, one of my moonlighting jobs was at a large condominium complex which had public safety officers that were commissioned, and we'd get calls from the elderly who needed their prescriptions picked up, and we'd go and pick up their prescriptions sometimes, and other, you know, personal things that people need that you wouldn't really have in the city, but because it's a private property, you know, we are there to serve them, and obviously they pay our salary, so we did it.
Well, we're able to do that now because we have the flexibility for doing it. We have opened many a garage door because the electricity went out and somebody didn't know how to open their garage door, and we do a lot of those things that our folks need help, so we can do that, thank goodness.
Definitely. Do you have much problem with DUIs on a property as large as yours, and you have a lot of road there? Do you have a lot of traffic infractions and things like that?
Yeah, we do. We have, I don't have it at my fingertip, but we've probably, this year, I think we've had 3 or 4 is all we've had this year, which is a little bit low over what we have had in the past. But, yeah, we have more of those than we'd like to think. And we obviously have a lot of people who like to have their cocktails in the afternoon. Fortunately for us, though, most of them stay home because when the sun starts going down, it's time to get off the streets for most of them.
Exactly. Chief Albanese, you have a fairly large property with lots of roads. Do you have much problem with speeding vehicles and traffic problems there on your property?
Yeah, not all that bad. We try to keep about 2 miles speed limit, and you have a certain few that like to overdo that. We have a lot of golf carts that run the road, so we got to be careful of those.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the golf carts. I'm sure you probably have a lot of folks who use that as their main transportation on the property.
Yeah, we do. And, of course, they have a habit of just putting it in reverse and backing up without even looking. So we got to be careful of things like that. But on the whole, we don't have too much of a problem. They're pretty good.
Chief Harmon.
Yes.
On your property there, I know that you have everything under control and nothing serious is going to happen because, you know, you police it. But
because I don't allow it.
Are there situations on the property that, you know, I've had a number of properties tell me in the past that they're aware of situations, threats, domestics, things like that, that they can kind of cut off at the pass before they occur because they have such a personal relationship. I'm sure that you have a lot of personal relationship with people living on the property, and you probably have the opportunity to cut those things off at the pass before they happen, and because you do have a personal relationship. And I'm sure, speaking earlier, you were saying that that helps. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit and tell us, you know, do you have community meetings regularly or?
No, we don't. But I do have, I'm an electronic chief. I have Twitter and I have a message board and I have an email list. And what I try to do is keep the community in the loop as best I can. I find that information is something they enjoy having. And then when there is information that is needed, I find it flows back toward me with as much ease. So that works out well. But like the other chief was saying, when you're in a small community, you can do a lot of more things for people than you can in a bigger agency. And we do that too. Somebody called the other day and they had gone all the way 40 miles into D.C. and left their sprinklers on. and asked, would we go turn them off? And we said, sure, you know, of course. we have neighbor-on-neighbor problems, and I was having a particular incident, and I spoke with the offending neighbor, and she said, look, I'm doing this for you, not for them, for you. And I'm like, okay, that works. doesn't matter to me why you're going to do it. But being able to establish those personal relationships, it really does cut things off earlier and keep them from getting out of hand. Because people feel like they can make a phone call to you without it being blown into a full incident. And they can vent, and that's a big part of it too, just to have somebody they can call and complain to.
I also noticed that on your property that you send out a monthly broadcast to the residents of the stats, what happened the previous month, what type of crimes and things of that nature, and instead of hiding the fact that you've had this or that occur on the property, do you think that helps in the two-way communication flow?
Well, and that is something I learned from my chief of 30 years, who's just the greatest chief on the planet. And he was way ahead of this community policing game, and he knew that bringing people into the fold and supplying them with information made them feel like they were not only part of the problem but part of the solution. I do think that monthly report helps. Transparency in policing is something I really strive for. And though we haven't had a burglary, per se, in 10 years in this community, we did have 3 attempts in one day, and fortunately or unfortunately, people were home at all those houses, and the burglars were scared off. And I expected this wave of, what are you going to do about this? And we pay a lot of money to live here. And what I got was, don't worry about this, Chief. We got this. We know you're on it. We're going to be watching for these guys. And I said, oh, how fortunate am I?
Chief Cornett, do you have a newsletter or some type of broadcast that you send out on the stats on the property to update your residents of what's going on?
Well, we've got 3 things that we have. First of all, we have our own radio station, a commercial radio station, and the people come over twice a week and look through our reports, and then they make a broadcast daily with their news to tell folks what's going on. We have a newspaper that's published once a week, and they're over twice a week, and that's one of the most read reports in the paper, is when they come over and almost copy our reports verbatim and put them in the paper so people can read what's going on in the village. And
you do have a village newspaper, huh?
Well, it's called the Village Voice, and it covers all the events close by. Their offices right outside the gates, but they're here. It's a commercial entity. In addition, we provide to the board of directors a monthly report with our stats, and we provide year-to-date, month, and whatever, and then those are put on the website so that folks can pull those up and look at it. So, yeah, we're obviously very transparent. In fact, I got a call Friday from a lady that wanted to tell me something. She says, but I don't want to make a report because I don't want my name to go in the paper.
And if there's anything I live in a small town, and I like to read the newspaper. I want to see who got arrested and who got ticketed.
That's exactly what they do. They come over, they sit down, they go through our reports, and the reporter, almost verbatim sometimes as to what the officer has put in the report, and that comes back to haunt me sometimes, obviously.
I'll bet.
Do you also use Twitter or any of the social media to alert your the residents of the news? Do you use Facebook or anything like that?
No, I am technologically challenged.
That's what being a chief is all about, being able to designate and appoint someone else to handle that.
Yeah, we are not there yet. One of my detectives is on Facebook. He came the other day wanting me to set up an account for the department. So far, I've not done that, but I let him play that game.
Chief Albanese, in your situation, I believe you folks do have a newsletter or something that goes out regularly, don't you?
Yeah, there's a newspaper weekly, and the community association puts out one monthly, and then there's an email that goes out weekly, so they stay pretty abreast of what's going on. We also get calls like a sprinkler's broken, and when people go away, the snowbirds go away, they fill out a card and they put it in our system, and if something happens, we know who to call to correct any situations. We get calls from people up north. They can't get hold of their mother or father, and we go to the home to make sure they're all right. So we stay pretty busy.
Right, right. Chief Cornett and Chief Harmon, let me ask you a question. One of the other big things happening across the country right now, because I guess the economy and a number of other situations, but there are a lot of private entities and police relationships being built across the country. Some police services being taken over by private entities. I know that a number of departments have hired private companies to issue their citations, parking tickets, take over the dog warden positions, and other things of that nature. How do you guys feel about that, both working on private property in a private police agency and yet doing public law enforcement? Do you think this is the wave of the future? Do you think that this is something that I saw actually a news magazine show this weekend where they had Dog the Bounty Hunter and a few other people on that they were talking about how this is becoming the thing, and that more and more agencies will look toward the public to actually build relationships to take over part of law enforcement. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll answer that one first. Pardon me. Go ahead, Chief Harmon.
No, go ahead.
No, let me yield to you first. Go ahead.
I think once you've established a good relationship with your community, there is no replacement for it. And I think that's the important thing. I think if they feel like they're part of the agency and they have a good rapport with their officers, they're less inclined to want to go with a cheaper substitute, and that's basically what it is. It's a money saving. And it comes up every once in a while in my community where they say, you know, this is a very costly operation, and it is. There's no question about it. But that is the purpose of the communication and the monthly report, so that they understand actually how much they rely on the agency. So they won't be as tempted to go with a private entity. And there's no question, security is security. And having an independent security company would be better than having nothing. But I don't think it's a replacement for a police department. And I think if you have a good relationship with your community, that's not even something you have to sell them. I think they just know it.
You know, I think one of the things that the public don't see is that it's not so much the arrest and the apprehensions. You know, it's what you're deterring and what you're stopping before it happens is where you really earn your money.
Well, and it's the trust. I mean, it's absolutely the trust, because if they don't trust us, we can't protect them. And a lot of this is just perception. It's not even as much about the stats as it is about whether or not these residents feel safe. And that's a big part of what we address.
Chief Cornett?
I'm a traditionalist. I agree with Chief Harmon completely. I don't think you can substitute professionalism for going to something less. I would liken it to if you got to have surgery, do you want a doctor that's trained in it, or do you want to have somebody that's doing it from a different aspect? You want the most professional person you can find, and my people are professionals. They're trained in that regard, and I'm kind of a newcomer to this law enforcement issue. I've only been in it since 1962. So I'm kind of new.
That's when I was born, Chief.
Well,
another rookie.
Yeah, y'all are all rookies then. But I think that you get what you pay for. And there are some very outstanding folks that are involved in the other areas. But at the same time, I think that the perception, as the Chief said, is very much to be relied on, and when you establish that professionalism, they realize that you've got folks in place that know what they're doing and that they'll be able to handle whatever comes up, that you start passing it off to others, then you just lose your effectiveness and you lose the beauty of your community.
I agree, but I do think that, and we see this a lot with hospitals, universities, and other large entities, a combination of security and law enforcement work very well because it alleviates law enforcement from doing tedious and non-law enforcement duties, such as, Chief Hartman, and even on your property, Chief, you have gate attendants or gate guards or security that do other things that otherwise, if you didn't have those, your law enforcement officer would be sitting on a gate. And in hospital environments and universities, they also have combination departments where, you know, security does physical security and law enforcement does law enforcement. So you have, you know, it's all under one umbrella, but you've got two different separate jobs and duties, and it works out pretty well. And I think that you're going to see that more in municipalities and counties. As in fact, I just read about a week ago, several agencies have outsourced their CSI teams completely. So I think you're going to see this more and more. The police agency is not going to outsource their law enforcement duties. They're still going to be ones making the cases, making the arrests, and issuing the citations. But I think that a lot of their non-law enforcement duties are going to be outsourced.
Well, and I think when you're talking about technical expertise, like CSI work, that will work. Because they're not going to be principal players when you're dealing with the community and dealing with victims. They're just going to be processing evidence. And I think that'll work. In my community where we use civilian gate guards to man the gate, they are separate. They are security guards versus law enforcement, but they're still part of the police department. It's not outsourced. It's all part of an inside team, and I think that's the key.
Same way with me. They belong to me. And therefore, I think the span of control is much better than having a outside where I don't have a whole lot of input, perhaps, into the issues that arise when they actually work for me. So I agree with Chief Harmon on that one.
Right.
Whether they can work. Otherwise, I'd never say it can't work. I'm just saying that you've asked me what I think, and as I say, I'm a traditionalist.
Right. One of the things also in looking at private security and law enforcement and versus public, you're seeing a lot more states. In fact, 14 states now have statutes that allow private security to have law enforcement authority on private property, such as what both of you have work at. And some require that they go, like in North Carolina, each private police officer attends the academy, 648 hours. In Virginia, they have something called Special Conservatives of the Peace. Alabama, Missouri, and a number of other states have D.C., Maryland. They have special police authority on the property, and they undergo, you know, anywhere from 80 to 120 hours of special training. And you're going to see this more frequently. They're not taking over law enforcement, but they are providing law enforcement duties within a private property area. And, you know, that's good and bad. Having been in law enforcement, one of the problems that we have is that sometimes, especially on misdemeanor type calls, you get called out, you respond. The guard says, I want him arrested, but you didn't see the offense, and you can't make the arrest because it's a misdemeanor in most states. And some states don't have private person arrest or citizen's arrest authority, so this kind of takes that away and allows the security guard to be the complainant and the arrestee on the case. What do you think about that?
I think any time that you do not require law enforcement to have the same training as their law enforcement counterparts, you're going to be creating problems.
I agree.
I think that what you're going to end up paying in lawsuits would be much better spent just doing the full-time training. It's a credibility issue with your fellow law enforcement officers in the area that you're working with. It's really a good investment to make sure that the training is there. And, in fact, there are a lot of private police agencies being accredited across the country,
yeah,
which was unheard of, and we haven't achieved that yet, but we are striving for it. There's only one accredited private police agency in Virginia. But in terms of protection from lawsuits, to have the same training and have the same professional standards as all law enforcement around you provides you a tremendous cushion for liability.
See, we have the same thing in Arkansas. All my officers attend the State Training Academy. And based on that 1983 statute, our certifications are the same as any other officer in the state. We can go from one agency to the other as long as there's not a long break in employment.
You can do lateral transfer?
No, not lateral transfers per se, but at least the certificates can go with them.
Right.
And they don't have to re-enter the academy. If they go quickly enough, there's a lag time there that if they leave my department and go to another one, if they are rehired within a certain time, then they maintain their certificates. And I think the chief and I are, Chief Harmon and I are on the same page on this one.
I agree with you totally. Chief Albanese, your volunteer officers, they undergo some type of training, I'm sure. Is that something that the Sheriff's Department puts on, or do you have your own training program on property, or how does that work?
No, we just do a training class with them. All they do is pretty much drive the vehicles, and we have the two-way radios, and they report back to the dispatch. And if there's any problems, we in turn call the Sheriff's Department or get the deputy on duty. But they're just pretty much, we're out there to deter crime, we don't have any authority at all. So as long as they see our vehicles around and it works, it deters the crime.
It sounds like a really organized neighborhood watch.
Yeah. So you don't engage at all. You don't get out and chase after somebody or engage in a situation.
We'll if they'll have some people coming around trying to sell things, we'll see if they have a permit and tell them they have to leave, but we don't put any force in. You know, if anything happens, we just get hold of the deputy. So we're just there to help the Sheriff's Department out, really.
Exactly.
Is the lowest crime area in the county, so it works.
Now, are you outside of Tampa? What area are you in, Florida?
We're about 25 miles east of Tampa.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Nice area.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. And it's a nice, you know, a nice livable area.
Chief Harmon, do you know of any association currently of private police chiefs that police departments such as yourself, sir?
Well, I do network with the five other private agencies that are inside the state. We try to contact each other. We try to meet once a year just so that we're not always reinventing the wheel, because it seems that we're all dealing with the same problems. So we do network quite a bit, and especially with the accredited agency because they're helping us prepare for accreditation.
Now, is that the Richmond Housing Authority that's accredited? Is that the agency, or is there another one?
No, it's Wintergreen.
Okay.
It's the Wintergreen Resort area.
Chief Cornett, is there a private police association out there in Arkansas? Or?
Well, no. I'm a member of the Arkansas Association of Chiefs of Police. I'm also a member of the IACP International Association of Chiefs of Police. But other than that, we do not have any association as such, because very candidly, I don't consider myself to be of a private community. We consider ourselves to be a fully certified law enforcement agency.
And you are. You are.
Yes. And so, as I say, we're the only one around here. Now, there's a couple others that have departments, a couple other planned communities, not too awfully far, but we're the only one that is totally gated that I'm aware of.
Now, there is one other question I have, and I was researching this, but I couldn't come up with an answer. On the Officer Dow Memorial page, which is a private entity, they don't really list private police agencies, and they would consider both of your agencies as private police agencies. Have you ever had thought of maybe I don't want to say protest that, but complain about that, because I've discussed this with a number of other agencies similar to yours, and I was wondering what your thoughts on that situation was.
I don't think I understood your question. we're not listed as a private police agency. Is that what you said?
No. Officer Don Memorial page, which is a private entity which lists all of the officers killed in the line of duty, they would probably consider your department a private department, and they would not list it if you had an officer killed in the line of duty.
I think, well, my understanding would be that we would be. I don't know that I've ever researched it to the point that that I would be able to comment other than that. But
I agree. I think we would be listed because we're state-certified law enforcement agencies. We're recognized by the state. Would very gratefully never contribute to that list. But I believe if we did lose an officer in the line of duty, they would include us.
Yeah, I think so. The Academy considers us. We get our material from them. In fact, I have an officer in the Academy now, and they consider us to be the Hot Springs Village Police Department. They don't consider us to be a private entity at all since we're certified. And, but again, we're there through statute. It's a state statute that allows for it. So I would agree with Chief Harmon. I think we would be listed.
Well,
considered.
I was just curious because I was researching this for another department who is a private agency, but they are a law enforcement in their state. They are post-certified, go through the academy, the whole nine yards. They had an officer killed last year in the line of duty, shot to death, and this organization would not list that officer as they would any other municipal or county or state. Didn't recognize them. So
wow,
we were doing some research for them on that, and I just wondered if you had any input on that.
That's very surprising.
I'm going to kind of wrap up our show, but Chief Harmon and Chief Cornett, I'm going to give you guys the last word. If you want to ask any questions or talk about anything else or comment about your agency, feel free.
Go ahead, Chief Harmon. I'll follow you.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with other people that are facing the same challenges, and I'm hoping that you will email me their information so that I could continue to network with them. I find it very helpful. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone on the planet because we do face challenges that are so different sometimes from traditional law enforcement. So I appreciate knowing that there are so many other people out there in the same situation.
Well, we're an international association with members in 28 countries, both security and law enforcement, and have been for the last 7 years. And believe it or not, there's a lot of internal law enforcement departments such as yours and actually growing across the nation and even around the world. Canada has a lot of private police forces that are fully recognized as municipal or county agencies within private property, and it actually is a growing trend. So we'll definitely keep you apprised. Chief Cornett?
Well, again, I appreciate the opportunity to share our community. We have same problems, as I said earlier, as any municipality would. Someone asked me one time what the difference was being the chief of the village or a municipality. I said, well, if we have somebody that comes in that doesn't live here that causes a problem, we can ask them to leave and we can escort them to the gates and throw them out. You can't do that with a city. You know, you have a hard time doing that.
It's a nice
but
perk.
It is a nice
it
perk.
Is.
And I think we have probably the best of all worlds. I truly believe I have the best job in the state of Arkansas. And
you have a beautiful piece of property out there. I mean, that's a benefit as well. It's a very beautiful area that you police. And there are a lot of advantages to that as well.
Well, we feel like we're a little bit deprived. We don't have 9 golf courses and 11 lakes, and so we feel a little bit deprived, but we'll try to get over it.
We'll try to. We'll find any petition that you have to, you know, upgrade, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm
Chief Albanese, we appreciate you being on the program as well and your unique department with volunteer staff. Anything else that you'd like to add to the program?
Well, I'm very thankful and very proud of our 1,200 volunteers who just come out every day and do this over and over and over, and we have quite a group.
It is very unique, I will say that, and having been established for 30 years with such a program, whether it be called a community watch or a security department, I want to tell you that I'm very, when I was researching your particular department, I was amazed. To be frank with you, I just couldn't see how you could hold it together that long with volunteer staff.
And it works, and it keeps the crime down. So you know we're doing it, so it's working.
I admire you, Chief Alvarez, that you can keep that many property owners happy that long.
Well, you try to keep them happy, but yeah, we do the best we can.
Well, Chiefs, I do appreciate you being on the program tonight. Thank you for taking the time out to speak with us. And if we can do anything for you, we have a lot of resources for both private security and law enforcement. We'll be happy to do that. And Chief Cornett, my offer to come and work for your department is still on the table, buddy.
Well, as I say, we're accepting the applications from time to time. And if you get down here, like you said you might, well, give me a call and be glad to show you around.
Of course, the perks got to be the golf courses, and does that come with a house, too? Because back in the old days, they used to provide residences with
I'm not sure we can go quite that far.
Well, again, Chiefs, thank you for joining us tonight. We do appreciate your time, and we definitely will be in touch. Chief Harmon, I will get you that information this week.
Thank you very much.
Good night, Chief Harmon. Good night, Chief
Alvarez. Nice talking with you.
Hi.
My pleasure.
Very nice talking with you all.
All right.
Thanks very much. Have a good evening.
Goodbye, Rich.
And that was Chief Harmon in Virginia, Chief Cornett with the police agency in Arkansas, and Chief Albanez down outside of Tampa in a very large retirement community operating on a volunteer security staff basis. Very, very unique. And as you can see, they all have the same problems, maybe not in the same quantity, maybe not in the same area. But whenever you're working a property that size, you're going to have the same problems as any city, whether it be in the Northeast or on the West Coast. And from time to time, they're going to have crime. It just happens that way. And very interesting, like I told them, it is growing across the country. More and more gated communities and large HOAs, homeowner associations, policing themselves with private security agencies and commission law enforcement. So it's good to have them on the radio. And we're going to be doing another show coming up in a few months. We'll be talking about securing internal communities such as that, and we'll be talking about condominiums and other residences within gated communities. So join us for that. Also want to remind you that Private Officer International is currently working with a number of legislators nationwide to change our law from a misdemeanor for assaulting a private security officer to a felony. And we've had conversation with several state senators in the last week or so, and we will be meeting in Georgia and Connecticut coming up in the next month or so, month and a half. And it is our goal to change the law in all 50 states to make sure that it is a felony anytime a security officer is assaulted in performing their duty. And we hope that you'll get on board with that and support this legislative change. Private Security International, with members across the U.S. and in 28 countries, we're here to provide you, the private security or private law enforcement officer, with services, products, and things that you just can't get elsewhere. And we hope that that we can be of service to you. If you're not a member, please consider joining. Going to open up the phone lines for a few moments. If you're listening and you'd like to call in and comment about our subject tonight, a city within the city, you can do that by calling area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number is area code 347-426-3807. And we'll keep the lines open for a few moments before we head over to our news department and check on the news headlines for this week. Again, that number that you can call in if you'd like to at 347-426-3807. I want to also remind you right now that we do have a number of seminars coming up. Be sure to check out our training page at the website, privateofficer.com. We'll be posting our regional seminars and let you know where we're going to be. If you are interested in having a seminar at your facility, your place of business, or in your community, you can contact us at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
5 Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking circuit, section 1, boy.
Hi, this is Rick McCann, host of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. Are you the owner of a private security guard agency? Or maybe you've been thinking about starting your own guard service. Perhaps you're in law enforcement and you moonlight as a security officer just to make ends meet. We all know that in this business, things can go from good to bad in a heartbeat, just like that. But when they do, we'll have your back. At Brown Yard Programs, we've been helping the security industry protect themselves since 1993. Give us a call today at 1-800-665-7305 or find us on the web at www.brownyardprograms.com. Brown Yard Programs, we protect the protectors.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Are joined us tonight right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network talking about a city within the city. We're going to head over to the news desk. I want to check a couple of our news headlines, and then we'll move on to a couple other things I need to discuss before we end the show. In the news this week, unfortunately, we did have several security officers killed in the line of duty. In Garland County, Arkansas, a security officer was killed as he was trying to break up a fight. Ray Deteris was killed while he was breaking up a confrontation. One of the suspects hit him with a vehicle, and he succumbed to his injuries. Also, a security officer was killed over the weekend in Miami Gardens, right outside of Miami, Florida, in a robbery of the Calder Casino and Racecourse. Police say that the security officer, who is yet not being identified by authorities, worked for Brinks Armored Car. As he was making his pickup, he was killed by several suspects. FBI agents have made an arrest this morning. They rounded up five suspects, including Vladimir Lucia, 25, Victoria Barkley, 26, Brian Kyler, 23, Reginald Mitchell, 26, and a fifth person arrested late this afternoon. Police say that a casino security officer masterminded this whole robbery scenario. And they have him in custody as well. In Redlands, California, police are investigating a $100,000 theft that occurred from the construction site of a new Grand Terrace High School. According to authorities, more than $100,000 of breaker boxes and other items were stolen while two security officers were on duty on the property, supposedly. Police are trying to determine how thieves could have gotten onto the property and stolen that much property without security noticing them. In Biloxi, Mississippi, authorities there over the weekend arrested a suspect in two arsons at the Treasure Bay Casino. Police say that the suspect lit some of the some property on fire at the casino. They arrested 22-year-old Gabriel Alexander Cameron of Biloxi. Police have also arrested a mother and daughter. This happened in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, over the weekend at the Ocean Lakes Campground. A confrontation ensued between the son, who has been identified as 18-year-old Adam Taylor Dwiggins, and Michael Dalton Finch. According to police, Dwiggins stabbed the other person to death, and the mother assisted in the cover-up. Both are in jail tonight. Security officers working for the Chicago Transit Authority nabbed several suspects over the weekend in a robbery and beating of an 18-year-old man. Police say that the security officers were on patrol in Chinatown section of Chicago when they noticed an assault in progress. The CTA security personnel was able to apprehend the suspects and recover property that had been stolen during the robbery. A number of suspects were taken into custody. Authorities in Atchison, South Carolina, say that a preacher is in jail. Dale Richardson is accused of rape and kidnapping of three women behind the church. According to law enforcement, Richardson, who is a pastor, held these suspects at gunpoint in a undisclosed area in the rear of the church facility. Baltimore, Maryland police say that a 20-year-old man was shot while he tried to rob an off-duty security officer. According to police Saturday night, the off-duty security officer drew his weapon and fired two shots when the suspect tried to hold him up at gunpoint. Currently, police have no charges against the security officer, but they have arrested the offender and charged him in the robbery. New York City police officer was arrested last week during a rape in progress. Police say that Michael Pena, 27, a three-year veteran of the NYPD, was caught in the progress of raping a woman who was identified as a school teacher. Police say that the officer who was off duty at the time was intoxicated. He has been arrested and is jailed, suspended without pay at this time. A mother has been arrested in Orlando, Florida, after security officers patrolling an apartment complex found a young boy hanging out of a window. Apparently, the child was left alone while the mother went to work. Police arrested the mother and charged her with risk of injury to a minor. An off-duty Connecticut police officer in Vernon, Connecticut, who was out in the family minivan with children and her husband, noticed a vehicle wanted for robbery and theft of a vehicle. Officer Kate Rooney notified her dispatcher that she was off duty, but that she was following the suspect. Other officers soon arrived, and she pulled her weapon and assisted police arresting Jeffrey Morgan. Houston security officers on patrol over the weekend found a dead woman whose nude body was located in a parking lot. Security officers were able to contact law enforcement and preserve some evidence in the parking lot until they could recover it. A Bucks County, Pennsylvania teacher has been arrested for theft and fraud from the school system. According to police, Caroline Trubinsky, 33, a school teacher has been charged with stealing more than $5,000 from the school system. Police are not saying how that occurred, but they have released her pending a court trial. Police in Monroe, North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte, say that they have three suspects in custody after they found a large meth operation in a local storage facility. According to law enforcement, they have arrested David Thomas John, Christopher Shane Helms, and Darian Starr Levine after security notified them of a possible meth operation on the property in a rented storage facility. Asheville, North Carolina police are investigating a pedestrian struck by a vehicle. This happened in a shopping mall. Security was in pursuit of a suspect for shoplifting. He jumped into a vehicle and ran over a pedestrian. Police are investigating. They have not released any names in this situation. Burbank, California police have arrested Charles Douglas, 59, for feeding the birds. Police say that he's been warned a number of times that he cannot feed the birds near the airport because of the possibility that they could strike an airliner and bring the airliner down. Police say that Douglas was booked for public nuisance, violation of a court order, and released. Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. made a number of arrests over the weekend in what is being called the Lemonade Freedom Day protest. Police say a number of protesters lined up in D.C. They were protesting a number of lemonade stands who recently were shut down or arrested by police throughout the country. Young children being told they cannot sell lemonade. According to the protesters, they wanted people to recognize that this is America and that little girls shouldn't have to be arrested or fined for running such entities. A number of protesters were arrested. Friday night in Nashville, Tennessee, a security officer at the Skyline Madison Hospital was shot, according to police. The security officer was called when a 70-year-old patient grabbed a syringe and was fighting with hospital staff. The security officer, who was armed, had his weapon taken away from him by the 70-year-old, and he was shot in the right hand during a struggle. Because the man involved, the patient, is under hospice care, he probably will not face any criminal charges. If you'd like to see more news, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and just click on the news link. We always, always have tons of news. Very quickly, in the birthday category this week, we want to say happy birthday to Stephen Stemling. Stephen Stemling is in New Jersey, and he is 45 years old. Also, we want to say happy birthday to Keith Holden. He is 41 years young. Happy birthday also to Jeffrey Thompson. Jeffrey is in New York State, Albany, New York State, the capital. Happy birthday to him. He's 55 years old. Also want to congratulate a couple of folks, Jeffrey Holcomb of Hampton, Connecticut, Betty Yowlings of San Diego, California, Christopher of Lundy, Massachusetts, and Becky Sawyer all completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2. Very, very good job. We have a number of others in class currently in the CAPP 1 course and the CAPP 2 and the instructors course. So congratulations to everyone for a great job. Want to remind you also that we still are in the process of working on the Security in Motion book. We've held this longer than we should have to give everyone a chance to be a contributor. If you would like to be an instant author, simply send us 200-plus words of an incident or a situation that you've been involved in during the course of your security duties, and you can instantly, automatically become an author, a published author. We are putting together a compilation of stories, incidents, in the words of the security officer in a new book called Security in Motion. You can send it to us. Send us your outline at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. We will be sure to include your story in our book. We will edit it, proofread it, and get it in there, and you will be recognized as a published author. Also, want to give you a heads up on some franchise information. I know that a number of you have inquired recently. Yes, we are still in the process of offering franchises. We have a new business partnership. We are going to be offering franchises in a new private officer security corporation, a sister company, where we will be selling franchises and assisting folks just like you to open up their own security agency. Right now, we are offering two free franchises. no franchise fees, and no royalty fees for the first 90 days. If you'd like more information, please send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. The uniqueness and the greatness of franchises is that these are turnkey businesses. You don't have to do any research. You don't have to check to see what the regulations and laws in your state, your community are. You don't have to worry about, who do I ask about marketing, doing research on HR, or any other area of the business. We have that all done for you. More than 30 years of security business, we have compiled a great opportunity for you. If you've always wanted to own your own security company, this is something that you really probably should consider. We do want you to do a couple of things. We want you to research general information on franchises so that you know how franchises are set up and what is involved in a franchise operation. We also want you to send in a business proposal. It doesn't have to be 30 or 50 pages, a couple short paragraphs of what type of business you want to set up, patrol service or whatever, why you want to set it up, and why you're interested in the franchise opportunity to be considered for one of those free franchises. Send it to adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. Woo! We got a lot going on, don't we? We always do. We have tons and tons and tons of stuff. Also, want to remind you that you can be a guest or a co-host. We just got an email from Charles. Charles was asking about being a guest. Yes, you can be a guest or even a co-host on our radio programs, either the main show on Mondays in the evening or on Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the LP Zone. Simple. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. If you want to be a guest, tell us what it is you want to be talking about, or as a co-host, just give us a little synopsis of the title or the area that you'd like to cover and a little bit about yourself, and we will definitely put you on the air. I know there's something that I'm missing, and I don't know exactly what it is. That's what happens when you get old. You get forgetful. I wanted to talk about something else, and we had so much going on with our guest and such busy week. I'm missing something, but I don't know what it is. We do want to ask for your support tonight. Right now we have 6 major capital projects in the works. And, of course, they need to be funded, not through a loan or donations or, simply we can fund these through your memberships. If you are not a member of Private Officer International, we ask that you consider being a member because each member has more than 40 benefits attached to their memberships, things that you're not going to get elsewhere. You'll be part of a growing professional security and public safety organization internationally, and you will also receive many discounts, free training, and other benefits. Memberships are very reasonable, and if you believe in our mission, then please support us through your membership. You can also donate if you want to. You can donate at www.privateofficer.com/memorial fund. And help us to be able to support these 6 major capital projects. Right now, we need to raise about $150,000 to help fund, number one, our permanent officer memorial that we're working on. Also, the Vest for Life program, which we've started. And we need to raise funds to be able to purchase some vests, to be able to share those with officers in high-risk areas. We also need to expand our office staff and services. We have a number of other ventures happening, and we definitely need to finance them to be able to provide you with better services products and benefits. And so either, you know, you can become a member, or if you are already a member, you can donate online at www.privateofficer.com. We also ask that if you are a member and your membership has lapsed, that you will renew it as soon as possible, because it is our lifeblood. We are a company, an organization sustained through membership dues, and without your financial support, we're not in business. And obviously, we've made quite a difference in the security industry in the 7 years that we've been around, and we'd like to make more of a difference. So we're asking that you simply support us through your membership. Or if you'd like I said a moment ago, you can donate, especially if you want to donate toward the memorial, then please note that on your donation, www.privateofficer.com/memorial fund. We also have a number of scholarships still available. We've given out a number of scholarships over the last few months. If you're interested in becoming a certified asset protection professional or a certified instructor or any of the other courses that we offer, we do have some scholarships available. Just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Tell us why you're interested in taking the course, and you will be considered for one of those scholarships. We're also offering a payment plan right now for any of those certifications. We realize that many people do not have the money, especially at this time, this day and age, extra cash to maybe take one of those courses. So we are offering right now a special payment plan for you. Just go to our website and contact us, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
Buzz driving? Officer, I just had two bears.
I love that commercial. We really appreciate you being with us tonight. We've had a number of emails regarding the HOAs and the gated communities, and several have asked that we maybe have another program, and we will be probably coming up in the next 5 or 6 weeks, because we have a lot of upcoming shows. We really have some great shows. Next week on our Monday evening program, we'll be talking about private policing and how many security officers do have special police authority, either statutory or via commission, and how that either helps or maybe it doesn't help them so much to do their job. We'll be talking to private police from Missouri, D.C., and Virginia, and you won't want to miss that. We'll also be talking with several security officers in 2 weeks from tonight about armed confrontations. We finally got them pinned down, and they'll be on the program. And a couple other weeks away, we got so many shows lined up. 3 weeks from tonight, we'll be talking to a sex crimes investigator from the Mecklenburg-Charlotte Police Department, talking about sex crimes, responding to rapes or sexual assaults on private property, what to do, what not to do. We also have a show coming up on how to initiate searches for missing persons, children, people with Alzheimer's disease, and a number of other shows as well. Some great shows lined up. You don't want to miss them at all. Very quickly, I want to remind you also, we're still putting together some chapters. If you would like a chapter in your area and you have applied or given notice to us before and you are still interested and we haven't gotten around to you, it's not because we forgot about you, but because we've been very, very busy. Please send us a reminder email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. It is very important that we establish ourselves locally in your community, begin to network with security officers, both agency and proprietary, as well as law enforcement in the area. And as you heard tonight, there are a lot of private police. They may not consider themselves to be private police agencies, but they are because they're on private property. And although they have municipal or county jurisdiction, they are within a private community. And so get involved. If you'd like to open up a chapter, again, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. A number of you have contacted us, and we've been busy, and I apologize for that. We also met a while back and decided to lower our standards for chapters. So at one time, you needed 15 members to have a established chapter. Now you just need 5. So maybe that will help us to establish more chapters. We have a number of chapters opening up in Tennessee and Virginia coming up. Several others opening up in South Carolina in this coming month and in September. So, you know, if you still want to open up a chapter, just let us know. Well, that's all that we have for this program. I hope that you've enjoyed talking about a city within a city tonight. And join us Wednesday afternoon. We'll be talking about internal theft and organized crime. This will be our third show on that subject. And, of course, we have many great shows lined up in the upcoming weeks. If you'd like more information about privateofficer.com, just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com or send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great week. Be safe. God bless. And we'll see you right back here on the radio on Wednesday afternoon.